Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
The boxers have been given their instructions. The seconds are out. The crowd is ready for another edition of Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing with your presenter, the boxing historian, Greg Rashid.
I want to say swatty cup to everyone out there. This is Greg Rashid, your presenter, with another edition of the Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing Podcast. And yes, if you're new to the program, I'm live here in Bangkok, Thailand, just loving it here. Retired over here many years ago and just enjoying it. And I have to say right now, if you're listening on April the 16th, we are in the midst of Songkran, which is the Thai New Year's. And what that entails is that as folks go back home to the different provinces and all and celebrate, it's like a combination of Christmas, New Year's, a little bit of Halloween in some sense, but just a joyful occasion. And they have these big water fights here. And I went to a couple of them over the weekend, and it's fun. When it's 98 degrees and someone pours like cold water on you, oh, it's a nice feeling. It is so good. It is really something. But we're here today to have another fun time with fantasy fights. And it's just not just fantasy fights, but we also talk about real boxing. And for some of you who are new to the program, what we do on this program is we take different fighters and put them in a computer program to see what if. What would happen if Muhammad Ali fought Mike Tyson? Or what if Joe Louis fought Vladimir Klitschko? Because I know if you're listening to the program, you're a boxing fan, and you sit around and you say, oh, what would happen? What would happen? So that's what we do on this program. We talk, you know, we present what-if fights, but we also talk about what's going on in the real world of boxing. And we're going to get to that right now, as a matter of fact, with Dorothy. And she's going to tell you a little bit about what's going on in boxing now. And she's going to talk about, to begin the program, the upcoming date. And it's actually depends on when you listen to this program. Because to me, it's the upcoming Devin Haney, Ryan Garcia, super welterweight championship fight. But for my folks in Colorado, they'll hear this on the 21st, which is after the fight, which happens on April the 20th. But anyway, let's see what Dorothy has to say about that upcoming fight.
Devin Haney versus Ryan Garcia is still struggling to sell out, leaving fans wondering if there will be a large number of empty seats. Haney faces Garcia on April 20th in the first defense of his WBC junior welterweight title. The fight is being dubbed one of the biggest of the year, given their rivalry. Garcia and Haney have fought each other six times in the amateurs, with their record at three wins for each. That left the upcoming fight with everything to play for, since there is no rematch clause. However, the build-up has divided boxing fans. Garcia admitted smoking weed and drinking alcohol, leading some to suggest that he was not focused on the fight. Garcia has also been spending excessive time on social media, playing into the narrative that he is not prepared mentally. Haney's star power has also been questioned. His last fight against Regis Progre allegedly sold only 50,000 PPVs, while Garcia had sold over 1.2 million for the Gervonta Davis fight.
Yeah, that's going to be a fight and a half. And I just think, my opinion is that Ryan Garcia is going to get knocked out, and there's going to be so many tons of excuses from his side after he gets knocked out by Devin Haney. But we'll find out on the 20th, and like I said, you folks in Colorado who listen to this program on the 21st, you'll already know. But anyway, we're going to get to more news from Dorothy, and she's going to talk about right now a little bit about Canelo Alvarez, because he's got an upcoming fight coming up in May. So let's hear what she has to say about that and what's going on with Canelo.
Canelo Alvarez has ended his relationship with Oscar De La Hoya for good. The two ended on terms when Canelo left Golden Boy Promotions, suing the company and DAZN for a breach of contract in 2020. The lawsuit would get settled out of court, but relations have been strained since then. Canelo accused De La Hoya of hypocrisy, claiming he was not loyal. Meanwhile, De La Hoya felt his criticism of Canelo's trainer, Eddie Reynoso, was the reason for their fallout. Both men have come into each other's company with the Canelo fight against Jaime Munguia, which will occur on May 4th. Alvarez defends his undisputed super middleweight title as Golden Boy represents Munguia. When asked about the possibility of reconciling, Canelo was clear that would not happen.
You know, I think there may be an upset in that fight. I think Munguia is going to win that fight. I think he hits hard. I mean, Canelo does too, but Munguia is younger. Canelo's he's been in a lot of fights. He's one of the greats of this century. I mean, some people don't like Canelo, but I actually like him. I like him as a fighter. But I think he's going to meet his matchup with Munguia, but we shall see. Now, next, Dorothy's going to be talking about, you remember Francis Ngannou? You remember him? Remember last year they were talking about he was going to be maybe a future boxing heavyweight champion after he lost to Tyson Fury. But then this year he lost to Anthony Joshua. But in the Tyson Fury fight, he looked very good. And some people say he won that fight. But let's hear what Dorothy says about what's going on with Francis Ngannou right now. So let's hear that on the Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing Podcast.
Ex-UFC champion Francis Ngannou is set to return to MMA competition in September or October against PFL champion Renan Ferreira, putting a pause on his venture into boxing. The PFL revealed Ngannou's return to MMA after Ferreira's brutal first-round TKO victory over Ryan Bader during a unique cross-promotion event featuring PFL versus Bellator. Ferreira's 21-second win secured him the PFL champion versus Bellator champion super belt and the opportunity to face the former UFC champion. After his victory, a passionate Ferreira called out Ngannou to a fired-up crowd with the latter present. But Ngannou left his spectator seat early, preceding a potential face-to-face standoff in the cage, consequently robbing the fans and promotion of any build-up value from his attendance.
And I know Dorothy was having a hard time, but it's Ngannou, Francis Ngannou. We won't dock your pay for that, Dorothy. But anyway, we got one more report from Dorothy, and this is about Roman Gonzalez, also known as Chocolatito, great flyweight champion. And he's going to fight for another belt, been around a long time, just amazing fighter. If you don't know anything about Chocolatito, go on YouTube and look at some of his fights. Just an amazing fighter. But let's hear what Dorothy has to say about what's coming up with him on the Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing Podcast.
Roman Gonzalez will have the support of his fellow Nicaraguan people for the first time since his championship title run, claiming 5 world titles and dominating the fly divisions in the process, all while traveling on the road. Gonzalez, alongside manager Carlos Blandon, international promoter, Felix Tuto Zabala, Junior of All Star Boxing, Inc., announced he will return to Nicaragua in the biggest boxing event since the legendary Alexis Arguello last fought on the soil in December 18, 1977. The very same arena where Roman will be fighting is named after the great champion and has a capacity of more than 15,000 fans. I am super happy and excited to be fighting in front of all my family, the Nicaraguan people, said Gonzalez. It will be a dream come true if I can crown myself a 6-time champion in 5 different divisions here in Nicaragua. For me and my team, the greatest of all time will always be Alexis Arguello. The Nicaraguan people will experience a historic night of boxing, said Zabala Jr., president of All Star Boxing, Inc. I am happy to deliver this along with my partner and mentor, Mr. Akihiko Honda, of Taken Promotions. We have been diligently working in the country for over 20 years, developing boxing in the region and producing world title fights. Roman was always a dream to have, and now we are making it reality. This will be a special one. The fighter's manager, Blandon, agreed. After this inactivity of close to 19 months, it will make for a very interesting fight, he said. We expect a positive victory and look forward to a title shot thereafter, and why not at home with the support of his fans? 5 different opponents are on the table for Roman's selection, from countries including Mexico, United States, Panama, and the Philippines. The wait is over. Roman Chocolatito Gonzalez has announced live from a press conference in Managua, Nicaragua, his anticipated return to the ring on Friday, July 12th.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. That should be something. I mean, a great fighter. If you don't know Roman Gonzalez, check him out. Look online. Just a great, great flyweight fighter. And some, you know, I know some folks are really not into their real smaller weights, but you're missing some great fighters. So check that out. And as well as check out women fighters, because a lot of folks, you know, there's still a lot of division about that, but some great fighters out there. You know, there's a lot of them out there that, you know, you need to find out about, you know, Kate Taylor, folks like her. I mean, there's so many of them. You know, but just check them out. But we're going to get to the main event right now. And I picked the Chocolatito Gonzalez news story as the last one because today's fight is going to feature the person that Dorothy mentioned in that news report. I'm talking about Alex Aguilera in the lightweight division going up against Julio Cesar Chavez in a 12-rounder. And that should be something because these guys hit hard. And we're going to have, as always, our commentator, the one and only Knockout Nigel. And he's promised to be on his best behavior today, which we never know with him. But anyway, we're going to get to this right now. And by the way, I know there's some folks out there wondering, Where's the shoulder roll Steve? We haven't heard from him in a while. He'll be back on. There's a number of folks who are like renegotiating the contracts and all that. He'll be back on there. But right now we got Knockout Nigel. So let's go down to Mexico today. There's Knockout Nigel, Aguayo versus Chavez in the lightweight division 12-rounder. Enjoy this. Sit back, get your favorite beverage, and just enjoy it. Let your imagination run wild. Have fun as we listen to this fight.
Devin Haney versus Ryan Garcia is still struggling to sell out, leaving fans...
Cheers. This is Knockout Nigel, coming to you from Estadio Azteca in Mexico City. It is a standing room, only crowd of 88,000 this evening to witness a 12-round lightweight bout between Alex Arguello and Julio Cesar Chavez. Arguello initially did not want to fight in Mexico against the Mexican legend Chavez, but once Arguello was promised he would be paid more than Chavez and also receive half of the gate receipts, he immediately signed on the dotted line. Chavez said he doesn't care. He plans to knock out Arguello and pay for his hospital bill. I am a little upset about being here because my bubbly was denied me when I enter this stadium. Security told me I could only have a margarita at Press Row, and I could only have my margarita after the match was done. Hopefully this fight will last one round, so I can have my margarita then head back to my hotel room where my bubbly awaits me. This bout will be judged on the 10-point must system. The judges are Adelaide Bird, Frank Garza, and Eugenia Williams. The arbitrator in the ring will be Richard Steele. This fight will be for the WBC Jose Solomon Fair and Square lightweight title. Steele has given the fighters their instructions. They have returned to their corners as the bell has sounded for round one. Since I can't drink my bubbly and can't have a margarita now, I will down this box of Pop Rocks. The fighters meet at ring center. Chavez lands a 1-point left hook to the stomach, followed by a 2-point straight right that Arguello shrugs off. Chavez shots off a 3-point left hook to the stomach once again. Chavez is a deadly body puncher, one of the best ever. Arguello counters with 2-point left jab and a 2-point right cross. Both fighters miss left hooks. Both are underrated defensive fighters. Arguello lands a one-point left jab. Chavez pivots to his right and misses his counter left. Arguello has a little smirk as he misses his counter right cross as the bell sounds to end round one. Both fighters showed a lot of respect to each other in that round. Lesser fighters would not have been able to compete with the skills both these greats showed in the first round. The pro-Chavez crowd is applauding the skills shown in that round. The round was an even one for me. Chavez had 6 points for round one, while Arguello had 5 points, while my wish for a first-round knockout to get my margarita didn't come to pass. Oh well, let me take another handful of pop rocks as the bell has sounded for round two. Chavez meets Arguello at ring center and hits him with a one-point left hook to the face, followed by a three-point left hook to the gut. Arguello grimaces from that shot. Arguello lowers his elbows to protect his stomach from more shots like that from one of the all-time great body punchers. Chavez goes upstairs with a one-point combo that puts Arguello on the ropes. Arguello bounces off the ropes to score a one-point uppercut. Chavez digs a two-point left hook to Arguello's stomach. Arguello counters with his own two-point body shot. These blokes are standing toe-to-toe. Arguello fires off a two-point combo, two-point left jab, and two-point left uppercut. Chavez misses with a left hook that leaves him open for a two-point combo that connects as the bell sounds to end round two. The pro Chavez is on its feet, cheering the action. Although this crowd believes Chavez won that round, I think Arguello exhorted his will in that round. Arguello had 11 points in round 2 to 6 points for Chavez. I have run out of pop rocks, but Saul Alvarez was kind enough to offer me his dispenser of Pez candies. Oh joy! These are the peppermint ones. Let me put one in my mouth as the bell sounds for round 3. The fighters meet at ring center. Chavez throws a one-point left hook to the stomach. Arguello fires back a one-point left jab. His second attempt at a left jab is blocked by Chavez. Chavez is stalking Arguello, cutting off the ring. Arguello connects with a one-point left jab. Chavez scores with a one-point right cross. Chavez delivers a two-point left hook that snaps Arguello's head back. Chavez scores a follow-through left uppercut for 2 points that staggers Arguello. Arguello clinches to gather himself. After the fighter break, Chavez misses with a left hook to the face that had deadly intentions on it. The wind alone from that miss would knock most boxers down. Arguello misses with a left jab at the bell to end round three. Chavez is putting his left hooks to the stomach to good use. Arguello is trying his best to block it, but he is dealing with the master of the left hook. I had Chavez winning that round. Chavez had 7 points in round 3 to 2 points for Arguello. My, these Pez peppermint candies are delightful. I will take another one as round 4 begins. Chavez rushes to ring center and lands a 2-point left hook to the stomach. Arguello's corner is urging him to tighten up his defense of that punch. Chavez lands a 1-point left cross. Arguello counters with a 1-point left jab. Chavez once again digs a 2-point left hook to the body. Arguello cannot stop Chavez's bread and butter punch. He grabs him in a clinch. Out of the clinch, Arguello lands a triple left jab for 3 points. The jab has opened up a major cut above Chavez's left eye. Blood is pouring down his face. That cut is a ghastly one. Chavez daps at the cut as he continues to stalk Arguello. He misses with a right uppercut as the bell sounds to end round 4. Chavez was winning the round in my viewpoint until that nasty cut. The ring doctor has been summoned by ref Richard Steele to look at the cut. The fight could be stopped because of it. The cut is that bad. I will need enough Pez peppermint to calm my stomach after seeing that cut. In round 4, Chavez had 6 points to 4 for Arguello. The fight will continue as the bell sounds to begin round 5. It looks like Chavez's corner has done a superb job of stopping the bleeding. A text from a source seated behind Chavez's corner said that an illegal substance was used to stop the bleeding. That fact must be verified, as we cannot go by hearsay. Arguello lands a one-point right cross. Chavez counters with a one-point left hook to the stomach and a one-point right uppercut. The boxers are bobbing and weaving, trying to find an opening. They step forward and clash heads. Luckily, Chavez's cut did not reopen from the clash of heads. The ref checks to see if they are both fine. He inspects Chavez's cut and lets the fight continue. Chavez scores a four-point left uppercut, followed by a two-point left hook to the stomach. Those body shots will wear out Arguello. Arguello blocks another Chavez left uppercut as the bell ends round five. Arguello must figure out how to stop the left hooks to the body, or the night will end quickly. Meanwhile, Chavez must hope that the cut eye does not open again. I gave that round to Chavez. Chavez had 8 points in round 5-1 for Arguello. I will take my last two Pez peppermints as the bell sounds for round 6. Round 6 begins with, of course, a one-point left hook to the stomach by Chavez. Arguello counters that with a booming straight four-point right that staggers Chavez. Arguello throws another right lead for 1 point. Chavez delivers a four-point right cross that knocks Arguello into the ropes. Chavez laid a trap for Arguello, acting like he was hurt to lure him in. The fighters clinch. On the break, Arguello lands a two-point left hook to the stomach that has Chavez grinning. Chavez counters with a one-point left hook to the body to show Arguello how the master does it. Arguello misses with a left cross, but connects with a one-point left jab to end the round. That was a close round. Chavez's cut has not reopened. I don't know what his corner used on the cut, but it worked. Maybe it was a special mixture of bubbly and strychnine fighters used in Togo. Arguello had 7-6 for Chavez in round 6. I have run out of Pez peppermints. Oh dear. But I see Ryan Garcia has a bag of treats he is munching on. I will ask him for some after round 7 ends. Round 7 begins with the pugilist bobbing and weaving, jockeying for position. Arguello strikes first by landing a one-point left hook to the temple. Chavez counters with a one-point left uppercut and one-point right cross. Chavez lands a one-point left hook to the stomach. Arguello is trying to use his elbows to protect his stomach. Chavez lands a two-point right uppercut and two-point left uppercut. Arguello clinches to catch his breath. Arguello appears to be a little gassed. Those body shots are beginning to take a toll. Chavez is cutting off the ring. He throws a combination that Arguello ducks as the bell sounds to end round 7. Chavez is imposing his will on Arguello. Arguello is not out of the fight, but he needs to step it up in these critical rounds. Chavez had 8 points in round 7 to only 1 for Arguello. One of Ryan Garcia's handlers spoke to me and said, "I cannot have what is in his bag because it is edibles. Oh well, I will ask someone else as the round 8 begins." Arguello rushes out and lands a two-point left cross and then a booming right lead for 4 points that knocks Chavez into the neutral corner. Arguello has gotten his second wind. Arguello scores another straight right for 3 points. Chavez can't get out of the corner. Arguello lands a three-point double left jab that opens up Chavez's left eye again. Blood is streaming into his eye. The eye is also swelling. Arguello scores a one-point left cross, a left cross for 1 point to the stomach, and a hard three-point right hook that buckles Chavez's knees. He is in serious trouble. His face is crimson. Chavez fights back with a one-point left hook to the gut that causes Arguello to stop for a moment. The bell sounds to end the round before Arguello can continue his assault. That was the dominant round Arguello needed. He had Chavez bloody and helpless. That cut is worse than before. The ring doctor is examining it. Chavez is letting the doctor know he can see. His corner is saying the same thing. The crowd is screaming at the doctor to not stop the fight. He motions to Richard Steele to let the fight continue. That is one of the worst cuts I have ever seen. To allow this fight to continue is a travesty of justice. But some would say justice and boxing do not go hand in hand. Arguello had 17 points to 1 for Chavez in round 8. Oh, thank you, my good man. I have just been given my margarita as promised. Let me sip this as round 9 begins. The fighters are standing toe-to-toe in center ring. Chavez's corner has stopped the bleeding, but his left eye is swollen shut. Chavez lands a 1-point left hook to the gut, his bread and butter punch. Arguello answers with a 1-point right cross and 2-point left hook to the left eye. Chavez lands a 2-point left hook to the head, then downstairs with a left hook for 1 point. Arguello counters with a 1-point combination, 3-point straight right and 1-point left to the body. Chavez goes upstairs with a vicious left hook to the head that staggers Arguello. The crowd has gone into a frenzy after that blow. Arguello looks like he is ready to go down. The bell sounds before he is given more punishment by Chavez. Chavez showed true Mexican fighter grit in the 9th. How he managed to hit Arguello despite having a brutally swollen eye and bleeding is remarkable. That probable was the best action round of the fight. I called it even. Arguello and Chavez both had 7 points in round 9. My word, this margarita is hitting the spot. Let me take another sip as round 10 begins. Chavez's corner has done a remarkable job of stopping the bleeding, but for how long? Arguello throws a 2-point left jab to the eye. Chavez counters with a 1-point left jab. Chavez connects with a 2-point combo. Arguello lands a 1-point left hook to the body. Chavez lands his own 1-point left hook to the body. This fight should be in a phone booth, as neither man is giving an inch. Arguello lands a 1-point left jab that opens the cut again. Chavez's left eye is swollen shut, and blood is pouring down his face. Chavez lands a 2-point right uppercut and a 1-point right cross. How is he seeing? Arguello throws a solid 1-point left cross as the bell sounds. Chavez is so amazing. He is fighting as if he is not injured. His face is a mask of blood that his corner is trying to wipe off. The ring doctor has begun to approach Chavez's corner when he was stopped by a WWBC official, one of the Sulemans. He motioned to the doctor to sit down. The WBC wants their boy, Julio Cesar Chavez, to fight the last 2 rounds. That round could have gone either way. Chavez had 7 points to Arguello's 6 in round 10. Wow, this margarita is a kicker. Let me sip some more as the bell sounds for round 11. The fighters are cautiously moving around the ring. It appears they are purposely slowing the pace to prepare for the last round. Arguello throws a 2-point left jab that immediately opens up Chavez's cut again. Chavez lands 2-point left jab and a 1-point right uppercut. Arguello tags him with his own right uppercut, followed by a left hook to the stomach. Chavez smiles at that effort for Arguello as the blood pours down his face. Arguello slips after stepping into a patch of blood on the mat. The fighters continue to jockey for position, ducking and weaving as the bell sounds to end round 11. That was a resting round for both fighters. There were some boos in the stadium as the pro-Chavez crowd wanted more action. I had that round even. Both fighters had 4 points in round 11. And I will make it a point to take my final sip of this incredible margarita as the bell sounds for the 12th and last round. The fighters touch gloves in mutual respect at ring center. Chavez lands a 4-point left hook to the stomach that backs Arguello into the ropes. Chavez lands a 2-point right uppercut and 1-point left hook to the gut. Arguello lands a 2-point left uppercut and 4-point left double jab that opens up the cut, causing blood to run down Chavez's face. Chavez connects on a 2-point left jab as the bell sounds to end the fight. The boxers embrace each other, happy this one is over. This round, and this fight in general, was very close to call. The crowd is chanting, Julio, Julio, Julio. There may be a handful of Arguello fans here tonight. The judges have concluded their scoring. Judge Frank Gaza saw the fight 115-114 for Arguello. Judge Adelaide Bird saw the fight 118-112 for Chavez. Judge Eugenia Williams had the fight 117-113 for the winner by split decision, Julio Cesar Chavez. What fight were Bird and Williams looking at? What a travesty of justice. I scored it a draw. The fight was a very close one. But looking at Chavez's face, I would have been satisfied with Arguello being declared the winner. Judge Gaza was watching the fight. His scoring makes sense. But Bird and Williams must have been watching another fight on their monitors. This fight begs for a rematch. Alex Arguello immediately left the ring when the scoring was announced. Such a travesty. Meanwhile, the crowd is screaming their approval of the scoring, knowing that their boy was the winner. No one can win a decision against Chavez in Mexico. You would have to knock him out to win. This explains why the fight was never stopped due to Chavez's cut. If Arguello had suffered that bad of a cut, this fight would have been called off. What a travesty of justice. This fight demands an investigation. What an insult to true boxing fans. What a travesty. I am so mad that I will not drink any bubbly when I get back to my hotel room. What a travesty. I will now return you to our Bangkok studio. This is Knockout Nigel. Cheers. What a travesty.
I think Knockout was a little upset with that fight. My goodness. But yeah, he's right. Yeah, you're going to go to Mexico and fight Chavez. You better knock him out. I mean, it reminded me, listening to that, it reminded me of the Chavez versus Pernell Whitaker fight, which actually Pernell Whitaker won, but they called it a draw. And that's awful. And I forgot to mention one thing. Today we're using Legends of Boxing PC game to simulate this fight. Legends of Boxing, we use Title Boxing PC game. We use Glory Days Boxing card game. They're great games, really great. Great. All three of the owners, the creators of those games, have really done the historical homework as far as boxing. It's just amazing. So check those games out. But today we use Legends of Boxing, a PC game. Hope you enjoyed that fight. And if you can be a promoter, as I always say, and a number of people have done that, what you should do, wherever you're listening to the program, be it on my YouTube channel, Nourished by History, or on Apple, Facebook, wherever you listen, just drop a line, a comment or something, say, yeah, I want this fighter to fight this one. And if you're interested in, like, supporting the program, and please, you know, we need support here. We finally got us a great mic, but we need other things to keep things going. Go to my Patreon site. Look for Nourished by History. Then look for Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing Podcast. And donate $1 a month. Whatever you can do. Just to keep us rolling on this program. This is our 25th show. Amazing. Just amazing how many shows we've done of this. But we need your support. Also, you can buy me a coffee. Go to buymeacoffee.com. Look for Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing Podcast. And donate what you can to keep us going, because these are fun. These are really fun, and a lot of people have told me in their comments they find them very fun, and we want to keep it fun. And besides doing the fantasy fights, and we talk about real boxing, we also do music on here. We interview authors, not only in the world of boxing and mixed martial arts and other combat sports, but other sports, activities in the world. We do that at least once a month, have an author on here. But in order to keep that going, we need your support. Yes, your support out there to keep us going. Please do that. I'm just so grateful for that. But right now, we're going to do a little music now. And as I always tell folks in advance, I don't know if YouTube will give us silence when I put this song on. But we're going to play right now. I want to hear a little bit. I haven't played on my program, on this new program at all, but on my other programs I've had, I always played her. And I got to play me some Big Mama Thornton. So let's play right now. They Call Me Big Mama. And following that, we're going to do Howlin' Wolf and They Call Me the Wolf. Those are two of my favorite blues performers. So let's hear that on the Show to Roll Virtual Boxing Podcast.
Well, they call me Big Mama cause I weigh 300 pounds. Call me Big Mama cause I weigh 300 pounds. I can rock and I can roll and I can really go to town. Stop by you this morning if you take me home with you.
Thank you.
All right, the one and only Howlin' Wolf and Call Me the Wolf. And before that, we did Big Mama Thornton, They Call Me Big Mama. Hope you enjoyed that on the Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing Podcast. See, we do a little bit of everything on here besides doing boxing. We have a good time, and I hope you had a good time. Hope you enjoyed the fight today between Aguero and Chavez, enjoyed the news about boxing, and just enjoyed the show in general. And if you, like I say, wherever you listen to the program, please leave your comments, your suggestions, ideas for shows, people to interview, music, whatever you want to do, because it's all, this is your program, and you can be the promoter of this program. You can do what you can to be the promoter, support this show, keep us going. But again, this is Greg Rashid, go in love and go in peace. And we know, you know, right now as we speak, as I'm speaking, there's a lot going on as far as what's going on in the so-called Middle East, which is actually a part of Asia, believe it or not. And we just have to pray for the folks in Palestine, pay folks in, you know, all over there, cause, and all over the world, actually, that we can find some sort of peace to the situations in this world. You know, we got a problem up here in outside of Thailand. I always mention this, but in northern Thailand, across the border is Myanmar. As you know, Burma, some of you don't know Myanmar and don't know the history there, but there's a war going on there, and there's genocide. So just say something about that, send some positive energy all over the world, because we all are on this planet together, on this sphere together. This is ours, and we have to do what we can to make it better. And one thing you can do is every day when you get up, go in that mirror, first thing you do is say, I love myself, and hug yourself. And if you're sight impaired, get up and just hug yourself. Because if you don't love yourself, you can't do anything. You can't love anyone. If you don't love yourself, you just can't do anything. And that's one of the issues in the world. A lot of folks actually, and you can see it when you look at some online writings by some folks, they actually don't love themselves. They're lonely. They're folks that really want someone to reach out for them, to them. So do what you can. There's someone in your community, wherever you are in this world, who may need just a hand to put on their shoulder, someone to talk to, a senior in your community, a young person, whoever that may be, someone you may think is like guided made, but they may have some issues. So just do what you can to help and just bring some positive energy to this world. But again, this is Greg Rashid. Go in love and go in peace. We'll see you next time on the Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing Podcast. Take care.
Thanks for tuning in, my friends. See you next time for another edition of the Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing Podcast. Please don't forget to like, share, comment, and subscribe to this podcast. Thanks.